Radio Prague News.
The corruption case of ex-politician David Rath is going back to court. The culture minister has received the Dalai Lama, and the roof of Prague's Lucerna is to be open to the public. Prague Supreme Court has set aside the verdict in a corruption case surrounding former politician David Rath and sent the matter back to the city's regional court to be heard again. A Supreme Court spokesperson said on Tuesday that as a written resolution on the verdict had not yet been drawn up, it was not possible to give the reasons for the judge's decision. Mr. Rath, a former minister and regional governor, was last year found guilty of bribe-taking and sentenced to 8.5 years in prison and the forfeiture of 20 million crowns in property. The Czech Minister of Culture, Daniel Herman, received the Dalai Lama in Prague on Tuesday morning. The meeting took place at the Ministry of Culture and was also attended by other members of Mr. Herman's party, the Christian Democrats. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka described the gathering as the private initiative of a cabinet member. No representatives of Mr. Sobotka's Social Democrats or the other coalition party, ANO, met the Tibetan spiritual leader. Earlier this year, Chinese diplomats protested against the visit of the Dalai Lama, who's in Prague to speak at the Forum 2000 conference. The annual event was started by his late friend Václav Havel. Czech television is planning to make some of its internet content unavailable to those who don't pay a monthly license fee of 135 crowns, the Dovky.cz reported on Tuesday. The news site said that increasing numbers of people were watching Czech TV on the internet, but refusing to pay the license fee on the grounds that they don't possess a TV set. The station has almost 4,000 days of content available on its website and had 2 million views last year. The number of state employees in this country has grown by around 23,000 since only 2012, according to data released by the Ministry of Finance. Nearly 440,000 people are now employed by the state in the Czech Republic, which has a population of 10.5 million. Annual salaries for such workers have increased by 16.6 billion crowns in the last 4 years to reach 149 billion crowns. The Prague-born tennis legend Martina Navratilova is today celebrating her 60th birthday. Navratilova, who received political asylum in the US at the age of 18 and became an American citizen in 1981, won 18 Grand Slam titles in a glittering career. She holds the records for the most singles and doubles titles in tennis's open era. Navratilova has been outspoken on a number of political issues, including lesbian and gay rights. Part of the roof of the Lucerna Palace in Central Park is to be open to the public from Wednesday for 3 days. Around 1,000 square metres of terraces at Lucerna will in future be gradually repaired and made accessible on a longer-term basis, organisers said. The space will be open from Wednesday to Friday from noon to 6 o'clock and will feature a market selling produce from the farm of the building's owner Dagmar Havlova, sister-in-law of the late President Václav Havel. The weather, it should be rainy in the Czech Republic on Wednesday with temperatures of around 11 degrees Celsius expected. My name is Ian Willoughby and that's the end of the news. Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, a visit by the Dalai Lama sparks a row among senior Czech politicians. The Social Democrats go back to the drawing board after poor election results. And we hear about a Prague library for fabrics and other materials that has some most unlikely pieces. All that's coming up in today's programme. The Dalai Lama has been in Prague to attend the 20th annual Forum 2000 conference. However, the visit by the Tibetan spiritual leader has sparked a row among senior Czech politicians, with the president's spokesman lashing out at the culture minister for receiving the Dalai Lama on Tuesday morning. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Tibet spiritual leader the Dalai Lama is no stranger to the Czech capital. A close friend to former President Václav Havel, he travelled here on numerous occasions, the last time shortly before Mr. Havel's death in 2011. On Monday, the Dalai Lama arrived in Prague from Slovakia, where he had met with President Andrej Kiska at the weekend. he will not meet with the president here. In the past, still as a candidate, the current head of state, Miloš Zeman, made clear he saw no reason to meet with the spiritual leader, indicating at that time things would be different if the Dalai Lama was a big investor. Instead, since assuming office, the president has pursued and promoted increased economic ties with China and was criticized early into his presidency for what was widely seen as a remarkably slavish approach. In fact, official invitations to Prague dried up with Mr. Havel. His immediate successor, Václav Klaus, saw no reason to invite the Dalai Lama either. And that is not to say the spiritual leader is not welcome by others in the Czech Republic, not least those close to the late Havel or supporters in favor of Tibet. He was greeted by a crowd in Prague on Monday who came to hear his message, many waving Tibetan flags and lifting banners in support.
Brothers and sisters, I'm extremely happy to come here and meet you.
Later, the Dalai Lama told Czech TV that countries which met with China discussed primarily economic questions and that human rights came only far down the list. In his view, economic issues, though, are not enough. The Dalai Lama again.
I think for them it is good. More economic prosperity, more development. But long run, economy alone, no guarantee to bring inner peace.
In an interview recalling Mr. Havel, also the Dalai Lama expressed the view that the late president's ideas and ideals had survived his death and would live on well into the future. And on Monday, he also met with Mr. Havel's widow, former First Lady Dagmar. On Tuesday, the Dalai Lama then met with Culture Minister Daniel Herman in what was labeled ahead of time a private event, presumably not to raise the ire of Chinese representatives who, for example, protested the Dalai Lama's meeting in Slovakia with President Kiska. That did not shield Minister Herman from criticism by the Czech president's spokesman Jiří Ovčáček, however. He tweeted that in meeting with the Dalai Lama, the minister had, quote, chosen media fame ahead of the interests of the Czech Republic and its citizens. By contrast, the culture minister told the Dalai Lama himself it was, quote, a great honor to meet and to be able to discuss spiritual values.
That was Jan Wellinger. In recent weeks, the Social Democrats have suffered humiliating defeats in regional and Senate elections. Now the coalition leaders are analysing the reasons for the poor performance and looking at ways to boost their chances in next year's general elections. Meanwhile, the party leader is coming under growing pressure to mend relations with the president. Daniela Lazareva reports.
If the regional and Senate elections can be regarded as a litmus test of the 2017 general elections, then the ruling Social Democrats have plenty to worry about. Despite the growing economy and generous welfare handouts, the party performed poorly in both the regional and Senate elections. Formerly the dominant regional party, the Social Democrats only won in two of the 13 regions where elections took place, and with 12 candidates in the running, secured just two seats in the Senate election. Analysis both from inside and outside the party suggests that the party has been losing ground because it lacks dynamics and is unable to attract young urban voters. Commentator Jiří Pehe says it needs new blood.
The Social Democratic Party has become over the years a party of small towns and countryside. It basically addresses mainly older people in the countryside and small towns. It's been pushed out by Ano from large cities. And so it has to find a recipe to be able to speak to urban voters, younger voters, and it has not done so. So as long as the Social Democratic Party continues behaving like a large trade union organization that defends various aspects of the welfare state and does not come up with new themes that would speak to the young generation, it will continue declining.
Although heads would normally roll in the wake of such an election defeat, party leader Bohuslav Sobotka is not considering resigning. And apart from an isolated call from the president, no one has suggested he should quit. For one reason, because there appears to be no obvious replacement, and for another, because party members clearly fear a change of guard just a year ahead of the general elections. Instead, some influential party members, among them the newly elected Pardubice governor Martin Netolický, are urging the Prime Minister to make peace with his arch-rival President Milos Zeman in the hope that the president's popularity would help boost the party's chances in the 2017 general elections. The idea was first floated by party deputy chair Interior Minister Milan Chovanec a week ago following the party's defeat in regional elections, and calls for a reconciliation strengthened following its poor showing in the Senate elections. For the time being, Prime Minister Sobotka is holding out against the idea, arguing that President Milos Zeman, who founded the Social Democratic Party, no longer represents left-wing politics, and a reconciliation with him would be moving back rather than forward. He has, moreover, pointed to the fact that two Social Democrat candidates close to Zeman, Michal Hašek and Zdeněk Škromach, both suffered a defeat in the regional elections. However, general elections are just a year away, and some party members fear there is not enough time for radical change. They're looking for a quick fix, and riding to success on the president's coattails seems to many to be the easiest and most reliable option. What Zeman's critics inside the party point to is that in recent years, Milos Zeman has done more to divide the party than unite it, and a reconciliation with him could present the proverbial kiss of death.
That report is by Daniela Lazareva. Now, in the final part of our show today, here's Ruth Frankova with this edition of In Focus.
Snail poo paper, glowing fibre or fabrics made of metal. These are just some of the hundreds of material samples that can be found in the Library of Materials, located at Prague's district of Břevnov. The aim of Materio is to serve as an inspiration for students, designers and other creative professions. They can either search its online database or come to the library to be able to touch the samples stacked on its shelves. I paid a visit to the Library of Materials to meet with Pavlína Jochcová, one of the people behind the project, and I first asked her to tell me more about its history.
Materio was established in 2000 in Paris by young French team Elodie Ternot and Quentin Hischinger, and they were both and still are very curious about innovative materials, about science and design and industry, and they believe that innovation may come from meeting new materials. So this is why Materio was created. And Materio Prague was established in 2011 by Happy Materials, company Happy Materials, and with a contribution of European Union grant. So we are here for 5 years now.
So if I understand it correctly, Materio is running an online library, and they also have real libraries where you can actually look at the samples and touch different materials.
Yeah, right. We have an online database which all three branch offices, they share this online database. And then we have three showrooms where you can find physical samples of materials.
So where exactly are these showrooms apart from Prague?
The flagship is in Paris. Then we have Brussels and Prague. Hot news is that we are planning to open two new showrooms in Asia soon. So we'll be international.
How many samples have you got at the moment in the online database and here in your showroom?
In online database, there is about 7,500 samples or ID cards of materials. And here in Prague, we have approximately 2,000 materials, which are divided into 10 groups according to relevant material families. We have fabrics, metals, stones, then we have composites, papers, wood, glass, ceramics, polymers, and a group named Others, where we put everything, for example, from nature or some material curiosities.
So what are some of the rarest or perhaps most peculiar materials that you have here?
For me personally, the rarest one is certainly snail poo paper. It's basically paper made of snail excrements. And the other one, really bizarre, I think, is a mattress made of human hair. But it's very useful because human hair are great absorbents of oil pollution. So it's great for ecological disasters and so on.
Do you think I could also ask you to show me some of the most interesting materials, or those that you find particularly interesting?
Okay. From the fabrics, we have, for example, very nice and incredible metal fabrics, which are usually used in architecture and interior design or scenography.
So these are really made of
metal? Yeah, made of metal, yeah. Then we have some fabrics from recycled PET bottles with coffee grain. This is also very interesting.
So now we are in the paper section?
This is still fabrics. Uh-huh. We have, for example, very traditional materials. This is handmade paper from bark tree. There is another type of the bark cloth. Very old African knowledge of making this fabric.
So you really do have materials from all over the world?
Yeah, we have.
Do you also have material produced here in the Czech Republic?
Yeah, we have very nice handmade wallpapers and wrapping paper. Then we have, for example, glowing fiber, like photoluminescent. This is also a Czech product.
And what is the most valuable material that you have here?
Valuable? The most expensive maybe is the aerogel from NASA originally, and it is material based on silica, which was originally used for spaceship collecting space dust into this material.
How do you actually search for all these materials?
In fact, it's very hard and never-ending work. Our teams constantly identify new materials all around the world. So we regularly attend fairs and design shows, and we browse through some university press releases. We collaborate with scientists, with research teams, with universities and manufacturers of materials. And I have to say that we are completely independent toward manufacturers of materials, so we can guarantee to our clients a very objective opinion on materials and objective information about materials.
Who are your typical clients? Who are the people who come to your showroom?
Materio is dedicated to architects and designers, as well as any other creative professionals, and of course to students. Our clients are also companies that want to innovate their products or they want to develop new materials. So we help them to gain information, all what they need, and we train their design departments or research teams.
So how does it work when they want to come here and look at the materials?
They come with a hunger for inspiration. They just want to touch samples, to look at the materials and to have some opinion and to know how it works and how it will work for their projects. Or they have some project and they need to find good material solution. We provide them information about materials and some consultancy service, of course, and we provide them contacts to the manufacturers. So afterwards, they can contact manufacturer and deal some specific details of their project with them directly.
So all the materials that are displayed here in the showroom are actually available on the market and can really be purchased?
Yeah, it should be, because it's dedicated to professionals. But sometimes, because we have a lot of materials, thousands and thousands of materials, it can happen that some materials are no longer available or not too widespread. But it's very rare.
You told me that among your typical clients are designers, architects, various artists. I believe that Materio has some very famous clients who cooperate with them. Is that right?
Yeah, but Materio pays attention to all clients, to students as well as the big companies international. But we have some well-known branch companies from fashion, from automotive industry, or from electronics and so on. For example, Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Panasonic, Nokia, Jean Nouvel Architects, or Philip Stark Design Studio, or Rolex, Honda, Škoda Auto, and so on.
Apart from running the library or showroom here in Prague, you also offer or you teach courses. Mm-hmm. One of them, I believe, is at the University of Applied Arts in Prague, and it's a course called Materiology.
Yeah.
What do you teach in that subject?
We found that students usually have good knowledge about materials that are commonly used in their specialization. but when it comes to anything else, they are a little bit lost. So we try to give them through Martyrology everything what they should know about materials in general to be able to communicate with manufacturers and processors of materials and to be open-minded to everything what is new and exceptional.
How important is it to have this knowledge of various materials in these professions?
Of course, that I think that the material is one of the key elements of every project. And as Elodie Ternault always says, there is no good or bad materials. There are only good or bad applications of these materials. So knowledge of material is something what can, to architects and designers, help with this. Mm-hmm. So very, very, very important.
What would you say are the biggest trends in the use of materials at the moment?
There are many tendencies when it comes to material trends, but I can highlight, for example, quick rise of nanotechnologies and smart textiles, wearable technologies. On the other hand, of course, environmentally friendly materials and return to the nature and craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. This is the main trends nowadays.
Pavlina Yaksova, ending that edition of In Focus by Ruth Frankova, which was first broadcast in August. If you've got any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. For me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.